You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What you need in life, money, power, respect.
You'll see that ended quickly.
Come on, Em.
I did it.
You jumped in like he was going to take over, right? Like,
I thought so.
He got involved.
Then I started thinking about the lox bagel and cream cheese. I thought about a lot of different things there.
From Jada Kiss
the
to
lox.
Bagels.
The lox.
No, I got it. I don't.
By the way, everybody watching and listening, Bialy's underrated. Just throwing that out there. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Guys, we have some breaking news around the NFL here. Adam Schefter has put out there that the Colts have placed Anthony Richardson, their rookie quarterback, on the injured reserve. He's out for at least 4 weeks. Gardner Minshew, who I am a huge fan of, becomes the Colts starting quarterback. They also signed Kellen Munn to their practice squad, obviously for QB depth there. Huge, huge blow for the Indianapolis Colts. Not that we think they're going to win a Super Bowl this year, but if you're going to start a quarterback as a rookie, you want them to have some wear and tear and development, and obviously this hurts in terms of the Colts.
Yeah, you just want them to be able to get the reps, right? And now you're worried now that it's an injury to his shoulder on his throwing arm, how he deals with that, how the rehab goes, all of the things. Like, that's the one thing that I was a little bit concerned with, given his stature, how the Indianapolis Colts were going to view him, how they were going to use him, and whether or not he was going to get the quarterback protections that are extended to other people at the position around the league. Like, because he's so big, because he's such a physical freak, is it going to go the direction of Cam Newton? Like, that was the thing that I was worried about coming into the league.
And you're saying that is a bad thing?
I'm saying that is a bad thing. Yeah, right. You don't want that to happen.
No, I'm just saying because Cam...
You don't want people to take shots on him because he's so big and for the refs to allow it. Like, we don't give him the same protections that we extend to other quarterbacks. Now, on a particular play where he got hurt, that was a quarterback design run. Like, it was a zone read. He pulled it. He took it around the end. And then he didn't get down. And it's just a situation where you wonder, like, in that spot, do you want to teach your quarterback to slide? Like, if you watch Jalen Hurts play and what Nick Sirianni and Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator, do, every time Jalen Hurts has one of those design runs, if there are defenders closing in on him and he can't get out of bounds, Jalen Hurts will slide. Unless it's a gotta-have-it situation where he's got to fight through contact in order to get the first down or get the touchdown, Jalen Hurts will slide. On that play, you would like to see the young quarterback slide to protect himself, because the most important down – based on where the Colts are at and based on where he's at, the most important down for Anthony Richardson is the next down. And unfortunately, now we're talking about him missing over a month of football.
All right, you just said something I want to follow up on that the average everyday fan may not understand. You said, in essence, because of his size, he's officiated differently because there's an assumption that he could take it, i.e., when Shaq would play, guys would smack him like crazy. Same thing with Yao Ming. And we just, oh, he's fine. We don't know. So in other words,
that's what happened to Cam Newton. That's what happened to Cam Newton. Like, I remember when playing against Cam Newton, the coach was like, hey, man, you're going to have to put a little extra oomph behind your tackles when you go to sack this guy because he's so big. Cam Newton was the size of defensive ends. He was 6'5", 250 pounds. Ooh. Anthony Richardson is 6'4", 250 pounds. So when you're a defender in the NFL, you're sizing Anthony Richardson up to tackle him. I mean, yeah, you could be looking at a guy that's bigger than you.
Yeah.
And that's the part where it's just like, hey, let me get a little extra on this guy. If you look at the clip of when Anthony Richardson got hurt, not only is a linebacker jumping on top of him, but you got a safety diving in to take a shot at him too. A part of that is because of how big he is, being a physical freak, a physical specimen.
So if the same exact hit happens to Bryce Young, who's the exact opposite, right? He's not a big guy.
Oh, there's a flag coming in for that. There's a flag coming in for that safety trying to hit
him. So he gets penalized.
No doubt.
Fair.
Yeah. But he gets penalized because he's a physical specimen.
Yes. Yes.
And Shaq would get hit. Yao Ming would
get
hit.
It's the opposite of the Jordan rules. Like, you had the Jordan rules, the protections that Jordan had, you know, going into the lane and all of that stuff. Well, think about it. Shaq, that people just kind of hacked on Shaq and all of that stuff. People just took shots on Cam Newton. Refs wouldn't call the late hits. They wouldn't call, you know, the illegal hits out of the quarterback strike zone. Like, you don't get those benefits of the doubt when you're that size, when you're that athletic playing that position. And that was the part that made me a little bit nervous about Anthony Richardson in his rookie year. It made me even more nervous after we saw the concussion. And now we're talking about this guy missing a big chunk of his rookie season.
So what makes you more nervous? The physical specimen that is like Anthony Richardson that is going to take the hits because he's so big, or the one that's smaller like Bryce Young who could get broken because of those hits?
I would always take my chances with the physical specimen just because it's a big man's game, as Mike Tannenbaum always talks about it. And here's the thing. Cam Newton did win an MVP. Cam Newton did take a team to the Super Bowl. So I'll take my chances hedging that way versus the small guy, because we don't have a lot of history. We don't have a great track record when it comes to guys that are under 6 feet tall playing the quarterback position having high-level success.
I know that in the play that he was injured, it's not the same comparison, but do you think Colts fans are like, man, another quarterback that's getting battered, another quarterback that we have to worry about if he can stay
healthy? Somebody call Captain Andrew Luck so he can give Anthony Richardson some advice.
This is supposed to be the guy since Andrew Luck, and now they're having these same questions about can he stay healthy? Is this a guy that's going to, as you say, constantly have to endure those hits? I mean, if you're a Colts fan, you're like, really, again?
Yeah, I mean, how could it not bring that up? And by the way, let me just say this, and I know CC has disagreed on this, but I think Gardner Minshew has to be one of the top 32 quarterbacks in the league. Every time he's in, I have faith in him that he's going to figure. I would rather have Gardner Minshew than Mac Jones.
Well, get ready. You're going to see a lot of Gardner Minshew. Get ready for that.
But
you're going to get a healthy
starter.
Well, he's a starter, but here's the thing. It's a very different game plan preparing for Anthony Richardson versus Gardner Minshew. And so now that we know Gardner Minshew is going to be the guy, now that opposing defenses know, I wonder if Gardner Minshew is going to show as well as he has when he's filled in for Anthony Richardson against the Ravens and then and most recently against the Titans.
Is that more of a compliment to how you view Gardner Minshew as a quarterback, or more of an indictment on where Mac Jones
compliment.
Is right now?
When I tell you Gardner Minshew's touchdown to interception ratio since 2019 in the NFL, I think you're going to be shocked by this. His TD to interception ratio for his career, he has played in 37 games, 25 starts. He has 46 touchdowns and 15 interceptions. He's 3-1 TD to interception ratio. I understand what you're saying. Teams aren't prepping for him because he's never the full-time starter. He's a guy who comes in off the bench probably after a quarterback gets hurt and they're down 14 and he's slinging it. I get it. But 46-15 is significant to me. 3-1 touchdown interception ratio is a nice number.
So are you suggesting that Gardner Minshew's career track could go the way of Geno Smith and what we saw from him in Seattle last year? Because it sounds like you're leaning in that direction.
No, I'm going to tell you why. Because Geno Smith has the most unique career arc we've ever seen.
Yeah.
Written off,
yeah.
Backup for multiple teams. We forgot he was in the league. Seattle names him the starter. We laugh at that. He goes to the Pro Bowl, he gets a contract extension.
Yeah.
This guy's always kind of been hovering between Jacksonville and Philly and now Indy. I don't know what the right comp would be.
Okay.
But he's always kind of hovering as the guy. I just think he's better than people have given him credit
for. Well, he might be better than people are giving him credit for and still be a backup quarterback. He's just a guy that's something to do when there's nothing to do. And maybe, you know, he could be the bridge to whatever you're going to do long-term at the position, albeit a very nice bridge. I just don't see a team, you know, going all in and saying Gardner Minshew is our franchise quarterback. But if you are breaking in a rookie quarterback, if you are worried about a quarterback that has a sketch injury history, this is a guy that you want to be on the line for to make sure that he's your backup. He's shown that he can be a good backup across multiple stops in the NFL. And I think he's also shown that he'll allow the Indianapolis Colts to compete. And most importantly, when we're having this conversation about the Colts, they're breaking in a new quarterback, and that was the priority this year. But they're also breaking in a rookie head coach. Mm-hmm. And a part of being able to have a message that resonates in the locker room is your coach being able to hold up something tangible in the way of winning. And the fact that Gardner Minshew is allowing this team to compete and win football games, it's going to only reinforce what Shane Steichen is trying to establish with his program building in Indy.
And those two obviously were together in Philly as well, Gardner Minshew Shane Steichen. So it's easier to do what you said with some familiarity there. Speaking of backup quarterbacks, a guy who started as a backup, some guy by the name of Tom Brady. Heard of him? I think we have. he has a podcast on SiriusXM, the Let's Go podcast. And Brady was asked by Jim Gray about the state of the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Let's take a listen.
I think the results are different from what they've been from, but I know that he's still got the same, you know, work ethic. He's got the same coaching style. And, you know, I think the thing that I think as I watch not only the Patriots, but a lot of things, football's a hard sport. You know, it was very different when I was in there because I could control a lot of the outcome. You know, when I'm sitting here watching from afar, you know, I realize, God, there's a lot of variables. There's a lot of things that need to go right in order to have team success. And I was a part of a lot of those teams. And, you know, I didn't take any of those things for granted. I needed a great defense. I needed a great kicker. Obviously, I needed a great coach. I needed great receivers and a great O-line. If I was going to be successful as a player, I needed all those things. And I was fortunate to have a lot of those things over a long period of time. The teams that lose, they're putting a lot into it. The teams that win, they're putting a lot into it. It's a relentless sport.
So Brady, defending Bill Belichick, I guess, okay, kind of giving a state of here's how you win in football. Brady did have a lot of great players around him. Brady made every single player better. And his former coach that I'm a huge fan of has really not many great players right now around them.
Yeah, I guess it's easier for Brady to do that now that he's won a Super Bowl since he's left New England. And now that he knows that his ex ain't doing better with the next, that being Mac Jones. Like the fact that Mac Jones has looked so bad and this is the guy that Bill Belichick handpicked two seasons after Tom left as the successor, I think Brady looks a lot better. Shannon Sharp on First Take this week called Tom Brady the ultimate eraser, like covering up for Bill Belichick's mistakes. Like everybody is perceiving Tom Brady to be the one that stirred the drink in New England. Now, I'm not one of those people. I think it's hard for good players to overcome bad coaching, so I will always give Belichick a little more credit for the dynasty. But that being said, I think Tom Brady, it's easy for him to come to the defense of Bill Belichick in terms of the kind of coach or the caliber of coach that he is. But what we didn't hear from Tom Brady is him affirming that Bill Belichick is the one that's going to get the Patriots back on track. I don't think he or anybody that purports themselves to be a Patriot fan actually believes that sitting here today.
Yeah, and when Brady's suggesting that Belichick is uncompromising in his approach, at some point the system will have to evolve in any walk of life, right? Like things change, circumstances outside of what you know to be true force you to change, right? In any business, you either evolve or you die. And I just think that maybe there's some notions out there that he should evolve a little bit. Like, yes, this had major success for you in the past, but at some point you have to realize it's not working right now. And maybe you should change your approach a little bit.
So let me play out a connect the dots hypothetical that is not that wild here. The Brady ownership of the Raiders, the partial ownership, has not yet been formalized. It will be at some point. Many people believe that Josh McDaniels may not be the coach next year. You believe, CeCe, and you believe, Smalls, that there's a chance that Bill Belichick is not coaching the Patriots. If Bill Belichick is a coaching free agent, would Tom Brady want to hire him?
No.
He has a voice and a say with the Raiders.
He got more voice and say than he is a quarterback with the Patriots. That's for damn sure.
So would he want to?
No. I don't think Bill Belichick is coaching in the National Football League once he resigns, and I put that in air quotes, once he resigns from being the head coach of the Patriots at the end of the season. I just don't see it happening. I don't.
Don't you think if Tom Brady's in charge and his voice carries weight, he's going to want to find a Mike McDaniel type or like a Kyle Shanahan type? Don't you think he's going to want to take somebody who's more in the new era?
Ascending,
rather than
coach.
Than Belichick, despite all the history and success they've had together?
All right, so Brian Griese, he's with the Niners on their offensive staff. He knows him from Michigan. You're telling me the theoretical of Brian Griese is better than Bill Belichick for Tom Brady at that point?
Well, I think it's about projecting what you think somebody can grow into, and Bill Belichick's better days are behind him. And here's the other thing that we can't understate. We don't know how this generation of athlete receives the messaging and the style that Bill Belichick is bringing to the table. It's different when you have guys that are Gen X or older millennials and how they're going to receive the style of coaching that you're bringing to the table. But what we're actually noticing now is that athletes are more sensitive to how they're being coached, and athletes want to be involved in the process. They want to say, when has Bill Belichick allowed anybody to have a say in what the hell goes on with any of his teams? Nebuary. It doesn't happen. So I don't know that approach is going to be something that Bill Belichick has the capacity to change. And I don't know that if he stays the same, that his message is going to be more impactful with a different team just because of the change of scenery.
Also, real quick, nobody knows the inner workings of that system more than Tom Brady. And Bill Belichick made a very important decision to move on from Tom Brady. So if Tom Brady's now in the power position, I'm looking at you being like, I don't think you're a great evaluator. you thought I was done and I went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So why would I want to hire you when you made a decision on me that negatively affected your franchise? It was the wrong one.
Because I could be petty now. I could be petty in a way that I couldn't when you were when I was your quarterback.
I'm in charge, not you. All of a sudden,
I'd have captain now.
Right.
Go and captain.
He could hire him. Captain. He could also fire him. By the way,
I'd have captain now.
We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Quick update, by the way, on the Anthony Richardson situation. IR Colts, Adam Schefter reported it this morning, but Schefter has now updated it. It looks like it could be 4 to 8 weeks, depending on rehab and depending on if he would still need surgery on that right shoulder. There's a chance he doesn't play again this season, right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a simple AC joint. I know that's what a lot of people were speculating, like he just had a separated shoulder. But this sounds a little more involved, the fact that they are saying that surgery could potentially be needed to remedy the injury. So, this is not good for Colts fans. This is not a good day. You have to be really, really concerned about what's going to happen with Anthony Richardson moving forward and how they're going to formulate a plan to keep this dude healthy. Because, I mean, it's not like this is the first time he's missed time this season.
Right.
He got banged up with the concussions, and now we're talking about an injury to his throwing shoulder. Not great, Bob. Not great.
All right. You heard the H to the Izzo, the Jay-Z coming back there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason for that. So Myron Metcalf, who's a phenomenal reporter, you hear him Sunday mornings with Matt Jones here on ESPN Radio. Shout out to Matt, who's got his Netflix show on wrestling out there now, which is doing really well. So Myron spoke to Tom Izzo. Their Big Ten media days going on, getting ready for college basketball, Hall of Fame coach, Michigan State, et cetera. And Myron was asking him about unhappy players and how they could be different than unhappy coaches. You know, a player transfers, a coach could go to another school. Izzo said to Myron, available on ESPN.com, quote, "Yeah, I have flexibility. I can leave. I have millions of dollars of a buyout if I leave. I've paid 40 years of dues to leave. Most coaches have put in their time. Most coaches will be doing that at 35 and 40 and 50, not at 20 when one guy tells you to leave because you're unhappy. You know what's wrong with being unhappy? I'm unhappy most of my life. Unhappy drives you. Unhappy pushes you. Unhappy makes people realize, you know what? I'm not good enough. I've got to get better." This is what Tom Izzo said. And he's asked, in terms of the 60 days, 45 days, in terms of the transfer window, I'm not sure what they're looking to do. I think 30 days would have been plenty. I think most kids know they're going anyway. I think they forgot we've got a job to do. Let me tell you this. The transfer portal is not going to be the best thing for kids. You get 45 days. If you think a kid is leaving, are you going to go out and get somebody else? Because you can't wait forever. Now it's affecting the kids you've got there. Here's the problem with this. I think there's
a lot of problems with this. Well, I don't know if you can boil it down. You said singular, and I'm like, this is problematic in its totality, and there are a lot of different issues. But go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, no, and that's fair. I do think a couple of things can be true with this. I think the initial ounce of unhappiness in professional setting, like college, that's weird to say, like college basketball, you don't necessarily have to leave, right? You can try to work through it, but you do have an option to leave. And I think the problem is, and I have fallen into this category, I'll own it, I'll admit it. I think sometimes, my mentality must be somebody else's mentality. Mm-hmm. Just because Tom Izzo is a millionaire 40 years in doesn't mean the way he thinks is the way a 19-year-old student athlete thinks. And applying that logic to a student athlete is backwards.
Yeah, but there's also the issue of the student athlete maybe wanting to change a major, maybe wanting to do a graduate level course that's not offered at the school that he's at where he's currently under scholarship. And this was the problem that a lot of student athletes ran into for years and years and years until the evolution of NIL, until the evolution of the transfer portal. And oh, by the way, this wasn't the NCAA, it wasn't Michigan State, it wasn't Tom Izzo, the ones that were advocating for these changes. It was state legislatures voting laws into place to allow these athletes, these student athletes, to have that level of autonomy and that level of control over their future. Tom Izzo, a grown damn man that chose coaching as his profession, and he's made millions and millions and millions of dollars because of not only his ability to coach, but also his ability to recruit. The athletes that he's bringing to school at Michigan State, until the last 5 or 6 years, they weren't able to realize their true value in terms of what they generated for the school, what they generated for the Big Ten, what they generated for the NCAA as a whole. You can't try to dumb down what the athlete represents in the cog that is the big business of collegiate sports to a scholarship that's renewable every single year. So Tom Izzo got to miss me all the way. Like, if he thought that this could be a problem, if he thought that this could devolve to the way that he sees them now, then why weren't you on the forefront of advocating for more change when athletes didn't have any power? Why weren't you one of the people that says, you know what, there's something broken with the system, we've got to fix it. Let's put some guardrails in place. At least at that point, we have some control over it. Why did it take state legislatures stepping in to create the opportunity for NIL, which spurred the transfer portal and more player movement? You could have circumvented all of the problems that you're talking about if you would have stepped up decades ago for your student athletes, but you didn't. You know why? Because you were making millions of dollars. So don't get on your high horse now. Don't be self-righteous. Don't try to sit there on a moral high ground. You were wrong. And now you're dealing with everything that all of these other coaches are dealing with, all of the headaches of having to re-recruit your players because everybody else is trying to come after what you got. That's a problem that you all created because you wanted to turn a blind eye to how the system was exploiting student athletes.
It's a self-inflicted wound. They got themselves into this issue. But Evan, you said it sounds weird to say it's a professional setting. Well, these student athletes are at work. What they're doing on the court or on the field is generating revenue. Therefore, it is different. And if you're put into a work situation, you should have agency over your future and what you choose to do. Yeah. And I know, and I'm sure you guys talked to coaches too, talking with coaches at the collegiate level, I understand a bit what Tom Izzo was trying to say, because when you're 18, 19 years old, you can act irrationally.
Sure.
I don't like that I'm not getting enough playing time. I don't like that my coach is making me work. So because I have this avenue, I'm going to leave. I understand that they're saying sometimes they need to work harder, or we're trying to push them to get the best out of them, extract the best out of them, and maybe they'll make a rash decision if they don't like the situation. But I also think this is not a regular situation.
No doubt.
These kids are generating money. They have their name, image, and likeness to consider, and they should have agency in that decision.
Smalls, why can the coach have, before NIL emerged and got to where it is right now, coaches could have shoe deals where they're making money, and the players are wearing no shoes. Universities have shoe deals where the uniform deals. The school is making money, but the players are the billboard. The players see the hypocrisy of it. So the coach sitting there trying to teach me a life lesson while he's making millions and millions of dollars off of my sweat just don't sit right with me. And then, oh, by the way, in return for all of the hard work and the money that you're making for the school, we're giving you this golden opportunity that is a scholarship. You can go to the finest schools, the finest colleges and universities. Now, they don't tell you that you can't take full advantage of the scholarship because the time that you have to spend dedicated to sport. So is it really the benefit that you're purporting it to be? No, it's not. You know how I know? Because I actually had to do it. And it ain't easy. All right? So all I'm simply saying is this. These coaches talk about how much of a headache it is and how it does a disservice to the kid in terms of their overall development, their character. But what they're really using that to do is to complain about a system that has finally given the players the power that they rightly deserve when it comes to determining their own future.
I just want to defend one thing, though, that he said conceptually. The only thing I'll defend is every single person in life that's listening right now, and the three of us, have had those moments where you're like, this stinks, I want to do something else or go somewhere else. And you could say, if I push through it, it could be better for me. That's not always. That's not every situation. I think Tom Izzo is going to the extreme and saying, well, if any athlete, student athlete, sees anything difficult, they're going to leave. That's not the truth. Not all athletes are leaving.
That's not the truth, but here's the other part. The body is the business when it comes to high-level athletes, even in college. Think about this. When I was in school, and it's the way that – there is no workers' comp. If I get a debilitating injury playing a collegiate sport, ain't no workers' comp. The school ain't going to cover my medical bills or my the care that I need for the rest of my life. That don't happen. Mm-hmm. But I did that playing for the school. That's the inequity that we saw in the system that was collegiate athletics is why things have drastically shifted, why the pendulum has swung so far. It becomes extremes. Players had no power. Now they have all the power. And it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. And that's why the coaches are complaining right now.
One other thing, the thing I've never understood. If the universities and the NCAA wanted a trade, Chris Canty plays football for us, we give him room and board and education. I can live with the trade, but when they say, but he also then can't make money from the local car dealership to do an endorsement or whatever it is, that's when it got to a point, and this is 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that it was so absurd you could never take the NCAA or the school seriously.
But they could have cut it off, Ev. They could have put
at
a
any
system.
Point,
they could
have
put a system in place
but
where they
didn't
control
have to pay
with
you.
The guard. They could have put a system in place where they control the guardrails, and they didn't. They turned a blind eye because everybody was making millions hands over fists. They were exploiting the athletes, and it was working for them. Now that it's not working for them, now that it's less than ideal, they're complaining about
totally
it.
Totally agree.
That's
with
you. A you problem, Tom Izzo.
Totally agree. But my point is, and I know we got to break, Virginia didn't have to pay you. They just had to allow for someone else to pay you, and they didn't even allow for that. And that was my issue all along. Respect it or check it next on Sportsmanlike.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
It is time now for a little round of Respect It or Check It, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Before we do that, just very quick updates. Adam Schefter just dominating this morning in terms of NFL news updates. Anthony Richardson now expected to miss 4 to 8 weeks on IR. Colts quarterback going on IR. Schefter also says the Bills have placed Matt Milano, the linebacker, Daquan Jones, defensive tackle, on injury reserve, both likely out for the season. And Bill Belichick confirmed Mac Jones will start Sunday versus the Raiders, quote, yeah, we're not making any changes, end quotes.
Mm. Wow.
How are you feeling about that, Ev?
I don't know what he was supposed to do, because where else is he going to go?
Right, it's so bad.
There's nobody
it's
else
so
to
bad.
Go to. He's the
it's
best
so
option
bad.
Of the worst options.
Yeah.
All right, Smalls, what do you have for us? A little respect it or check it.
All right, boys, respect it. Respect it, excuse me, or check it. The Giants will trade Saquon Barkley.
Respect it. I mean, what you're going nowhere with him. You might as well trade him and get what you can get for him. Now, here's the thing. I don't know if they can get, you know, multiple mid-round draft picks, you know, a 3 and a 5, a 3 and a 6, something like that. But if you can, then you should take it. Now, if Saquon Barkley plays for you and he graduates and goes into free agency, he leaves, you get a compensatory third-round pick. But why not try to assure that you're going to get something of value in return for him? Try to maximize it with a team desperate to upgrade the weapons that they currently have. Makes sense.
I'm going to check that. They should do exactly what CC said. We said it even before the season. I just don't buy that the Giants are going to do that. I think they love Saquon too much and they want to work this out with him.
Respect it or check it. Kirk Cousins finishes the season as a Viking.
Check it. He's not finishing the season as a Viking. They brought in quarterbacks yesterday to work out. Like, why would they do that? And the Brian Windhorst, we had it in the group chat, Smalls. Why would they do that? They're doing that because now that Justin Jefferson is on IR, the writing's on the wall. Go ahead and move Kirk Cousins. Get something for him of significance. Pretty sure you'll be able to get premium picks. Because Kirk Cousins is not only a guy that can help a team that thinks they're a contender this year, but he can help you for future years. There's still enough runway there in terms of productivity in his prime.
I'm going to check it. He's not going to finish the season as a Viking because, you know, I get to work with and you get to work with a former NFL player every single day. And I asked that former NFL player this week, that's him, Chris Canty, said, when are teams really going to start making changes? He said, 1 week away. He said, we're 1 week away.
Huh.
So I was going to save this in the back pocket and bring it out tomorrow, but you're walking me into it. This will be Kirk Cousins' last game as a Viking.
Wow. Hello.
Save it.
Hello.
Next.
Respect it or check it. Kyler Murray will be traded before playing another game for the Arizona Cardinals.
Respect it. He's not playing for the Cardinals this year. He's not playing for the Josh Dobbs. They're going to ride that out and see what happens. And no, he's not. The Cardinals are not going to devalue what they can get in a trade for Kyler Murray. They're going to let him go into next offseason 100% healthy so they can move him and, more importantly, move that contract. They're going to be in the sweepstakes for one of those top quarterbacks. Kyler Murray is not their future anymore.
I'm going to check it because of the wording you used. I don't think he's going to get traded. I don't think anybody's going to give up value for him. I think they're going to ultimately have to release him, wow. And he's just going to have to go somewhere else because he's coming off of an injury, he's got a bad contract, and nobody knows if he's actually that good. So I don't know that anybody's going to trade for him.
But either way, both
yes,
of you don't think he's
not. He's done with the Cardinals.
He's done with the Cardinals.
It's just
he's
how you worded it that I have to be specific on it.
I would be shocked if he plays for the Cardinals again. All right, respect it or check it. Frank Reich regrets taking Bryce Young with the #1 overall pick.
Respect it. If you saw that video at that press conference yesterday, how could you not respect it? I mean, Frank Reich, I mean, stopped short of just saying, yeah, I wanted C.J. Stroud, but the owner wanted Bryce Young. Like, it's just he let it be known that that's the direction that he wanted to go, and the owner is one that likes to be quote-unquote hands-on and engaged. And then he tried to sugarcoat it and say, yeah, but we're all the better for it. No, Frank, you're not the better for it. What you are is in a position where you got to sharpen up your resume because you're going to be putting your name on a potential winless season in a 17-game regular season structure. It's bad.
I'm going to answer your question with a question for CeCe. Respect it or check it, Frank Wright regrets taking the Panthers job.
Respect it.
Okay, go ahead.
Respect it.
I mean, the checks still cash, Ev.
That's true.
But checks do still cash.
If you're Frank Reich, and let's say you really wanted C.J. Stroud, you're banging the table for him, and the owner outvotes you. He vetoes it. He takes Bryce Young. And you're seeing C.J. Stroud through the first 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Aren't you frustrated, too?
Yeah, you're frustrated, but you're letting everybody in the NFL know that wasn't my decision. That's what Frank Reich is saying. That wasn't my decision. I know everybody wants to say that it was me and Josh McCown and Jim Caldwell. That wasn't our decision. We wanted the guy that's lighting it up in Houston. The owner wanted Bryce Young. So if everybody in the NFL is paying attention while you're watching this press conference, just know that I'm dealing with an owner that likes to be hands-on, and he's the one that pushed the button on Bryce Young. And so don't blame me for the Carolina Panthers potentially being winless in December.
And 31 teams in the NFL have all said that they would have taken Brock Purdy if it was up to them.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't have the final say on that pick. It wasn't right, – yeah, right, everybody right. – that's what happens, right? Everybody wants to take claim for someone.
But I actually think that – I think David Tepper did fat hand this.
But how many times have we heard that about Brady? Like, oh, we would have taken
– I'm not taking the fall for David Tepper. He's a billionaire.
I understand.
He's going to have – listen, he owns the team. He can mess it up as much as he wants. Well, but when people in NFL circles try to figure out whether or not Frank Reich is a good coach – what Frank Reich is saying, don't hold this against me because that's on the owner.
Great coordinator, not sure he's a great coach. Head coach, excuse me. Next.
Last one, guys. Respect it or check it. Caleb Williams is the most exciting quarterback right now.
In both levels, we're saying. College and pro.
Most exciting quarterback, period.
Nah, I got to check that. It's still Pat Mahomes until otherwise notified. And Caleb Williams had a quiet day at the office against Arizona, although the touchdown pass that he did throw, I mean, it was outstanding. I mean, this guy's second reaction plays is unbelievable. So, Caleb Williams is exciting. He's one of the more exciting quarterbacks out there. But Pat Mahomes is still that dude.
Okay, one thing on what you just said, though. He did not have a great passing game, but I love any quarterback that just finds ways of winning. And he's on that short list of guys in sports right now that I just, he being Caleb Williams, that I just find unbelievable that they'll just find a way to win. I'm going to check it because my most exciting quarterback to watch is Brock Purdy.
I knew you were going there.
I'm dead serious. And maybe it's because I'm used to the greatness of Mahomes. Like, I'm not seeing anything that I haven't seen before. But Purdy's efficiency is amazing. I just freaking love it. I love it. It's so fun to watch.
You mean to tell me that the electric plays that you're seeing, some of the throws from Caleb Williams, is less exciting to you than Brock Purdy right now?
Well, I watch more of NFL than I do college. So maybe it's like, all right, I'm not watching every throw of Caleb Williams, but Brock Purdy, I love watching
it's play. Fun to watch Brock Purdy play, but Caleb Williams is another level. And like I said, that touchdown throw he had to Kyron Hudson in the Arizona game, just go back and watch it. Like, that's SportsCenter top 10 most weeks. Like, that's incredible. Brock Purdy just makes – he makes the right football play every single time.
But that's exciting
so
to me.
So in its totality, you can appreciate that because it's hard to do.
Him being boring is really exciting to me. Remember, I'm a Belichick guy.
You're a Patriots fan. That makes sense. That tracks. Totally. Like, that tracks.
Totally. Like, oh, that you tracks. Threw a 10-yard out? Oh, my God, that's amazing. To me, I love that. Efficiency, precision, awesome. Coming
he
up.
He wishes he had a quarterback that could throw a 10-yard out. He
I don't really even think does. I have a quarterback that can throw 10 yards.
I don't think you have a quarterback that can pitch the ball to the running back.
No, I know I don't. Coming up, our most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Miami.
Oh, it's such a great job by Javonte. Everybody is talking about it. What a performance by the Heat last night in their win against the Hornets preseason cold sweater with the 17 points in the fourth. Oh, no, that's not what we're talking about. It's Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio. Along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. All right, each and every day at this time, before we hand it off to Greeny, we give our Unsportsmanlike moment of the day. Now, the Unsportsmanlike moment of the day could be something funny, something weird, something crazy, something that CC is showing Smalls on his phone.
No,
we have a piece of audio, but you can go first because we did play the music. Your unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
Oh, it has to be what's going on between Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, right?
Yeah.
That has to be it. Like, Will, it's confirmed now from, I think it's Will Smith, that him and Jada Pinkett have been separated since 2016. And
Jada
Jada revealed it. And so Smalls and I are sitting here having a conversation during the break. You did all that at the Oscars a couple of years ago for a woman that you separated from?
And had been separated
and
from
And had
a
been
while.
Separated from a minute, bro. Like, you at the red table, being all sad, turning into a meme on social media, and you not even with her? Like, y'all not together? What are we talking about, bro? Like, that is wild to me that you would catch all the smoke on a night where you were nominated for an Oscar.
Won
the Oscar, yeah. And you're going to catch all the smoke, and you not even with Jada at that point?
So clearly, we are realizing that the slap towards Chris Rock really had nothing to do with Chris Rock.
No. No, that's unsportsmanlike.
That's you projecting your feelings.
I wish if I had a flag, I would throw it like flag on the play. That's unsportsmanlike conduct.
You don't hit people,
by Will
period.
Smith.
So they were sitting together though. Isn't that odd? And it's like, let's say nothing happens. You're going to an award show with your ex that you separated from 7 years or 6 years prior.
Yeah.
Could you imagine even – like, and I understand, okay, there's one thing between I'm going to care for the person but not us as husband, wife, or whatever relationship you would be in. I don't care. And we have kids together, so I always have to care for them. But I don't, why do I have to go with you to the award
show?
Because
it's the brand. It's the image, right? Like, we like a part of the Red Table Talk and Jada launching that platform was her and Will being able to work through and navigate all of their relationship issues. So it's a part of the branding for both of them. It's money.
But the branding feels fraudulent now.
Because it is fraudulent now. We just found out it's fraudulent now.
So then what was he all upset
about? Man, they're
about?
Really good. They're actually better actors than I gave them credit
in
for.
Real life,
they're
better actors.
Sit there by each other.
But so he was upset that what he thought was his wife cheating on him, she wasn't cheating on him. Think about that part of it, right?
I'm with you. The math ain't mathed right now.
That's Jerry Jones' billionaire math.
Now, that's 1 + 1 = 3.
Right.
It don't add up to me.
Now, the concept
maybe
of,
it makes sense to the
of your spouse, your ex-spouse in a relationship with one of your children's friends.
That could run you hot. That could make me mad, yeah.
But technically, that's not cheating. That's just like... You had to do that to me?
Yeah, but if you're going to slap somebody, you would slap the child's son rather than slapping the child's friend rather than slapping Chris Rock, right?
Yeah, you can't be upset that Jada's getting jiggy with somebody else if you guys are separated.
Why if you're Jada? Why?
That hurt me, Smalls. That hurt me right there.
Why
when you
would you
it
reveal
like
that now? Why?
What's
going on with Jada Pinkett Smith?
Or is it Jada Pinkett?
She's keeping the Smith
because of Will's fame.
Oh, wow.
Right? I mean, I'm just...
Well, she's famous in her own right.
Yeah. I know, but you're right.
That has to be the most unsportsmanlike moment of the day, though, right?
Well, now playing this funny dog audio seems very much like a nothing with nothing here. By the way, I did see we're going to play Christopher Mad Dog Russo, courtesy of his show Mad Dog Unleashed, Sirius XM 82. I saw Doggy in the hallway as he was getting ready for First Take just now, and he was giving me a whole breakdown about his son as a host on ESPN Madison. Does he go to this game versus do the post game? Yes. What are my opinions? Like, he's your son. You're going to figure that out. Thank you very much. But here is Doggy yesterday, unsportsmanlike moment of the day, realizing when Christmas is.
Yes, they're on against the Patriots on Christmas Eve. Oh, my God. Did they put that? I'll go to church for a change. Are they on? They didn't do that, did they? They could not have put Denver on Christmas Eve as a standalone game. When I sit there, watch the fire there with the U-log, they can't please. Oh, my God. So on December 24th, they're at home live against New England. So that's my Christmas Eve when I want to bet and think about everything that is anti-Christ. I got Denver hosting New England on New Year's Eve. You must be kidding me. I got to sit there and I got to keep myself raring to go for the putting the presents under the dopey tree. And I got Belichick against Sean Payton too. Grinches, if there ever two of them, boy, how about that? How about the Sunday? Where is that game? Is that game on NBC? Maybe that's or is that an ESPN special? Because I got to see the two of them go to Belichick and Peyton with a little Christmas eggnog and talk about those. Their two teams. Let's see. That's a Rich Eisen and a Kurt Warner special. Denver hosting the Patriots on Christmas Eve. That is a impossible. Even for me. And I'll have a little church at 4:30. The missus, the mom will come over, a little veal cutlet parmesan, which she'll burn. She likes to cook it. She'll burn it to smithereens. The kids will be bored stiff, and I'll have to bet New England at Denver to keep me into it. That's a rough day.
That's great.
The veal parmesan burnt by his mother and his wife. On Christmas, in order to keep him going, he's going to have to bet Patriots and Broncos.
Oh, my God.
What's worse, the burnt parm or watching that game?
Patriots-Broncos. I feel like I could do enough with the parmesan cheese and the pepper to work around.
Throw some more cheese on it.
It's just Cajun-style parm. That's what that is. But here's the thing. We could be at the point in the season for both teams where their fan bases are rooting for the other team to win because they want the better draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like that's where we're at. And you know what I'll be rooting for in that game? A tie. so my Giants the next day can lose on the road against the Philadelphia Eagles and have a better draft pick than both of them.
Wait a minute.
Because I think that's where we're at.
Did we just realize we're actually going to be in competition this year, you and I, in terms of the Patriots and the,
yes,
and the Giants?
Yes, we are.
For Caleb Williams.
We're competing for something.
We're competing for Caleb Williams. Boy, what a great competition. The Giants and Patriots have had some famous competitions. Two Super Bowls. Parcells, Belichick, all the connections. Now, Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Well, at least you have a team. Must be nice.
That's fair.
But here's the point. What's the point of being a front runner if they're not in front?
That's a you problem.
I know. It really is a problem for me.
Man.
By the way, veal parmesan or chicken parmesan? You can only eat one.
Oh, chicken.
Chicken parm.
Chicken parm.
Chicken parm.
Chicken parm or meatball parm
at Quality Italian in the city?
Been.
It's like a pizza.
Oh, it's outstanding. If you haven't been, treat yourself. Like, you can't order it to go. You got to go in and sit down and eat it. It's phenomenal. It's worth your time.
It's literally in a pizza circular thing, and they have the pizza, like, knife and everything like that. Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL Insider, owes me that. He lost a bet to me, owes me that, still has not paid
chicken
that
Chicken parm at Quality Italian, top-notch smalls. Right, Do yourself a favor.
You know what? Yeah. We have the answer. What that money is going towards in the bad take jar?
Ooh.
Chicken parms, quality Italian.
Yep.
We're $1 closer.
We're $1
closer. We're about $49 away from getting a chicken
parm. Oh, don't worry. We'll be there in a hurry with all the bad takes that we're firing off. Yeah. No question.
Oh, boy. All right. Stay tuned. Greeny is coming up next. Of course, all the baseball playoffs on ESPN Radio today. Of course, you will have it. And then we'll maybe add to our bad take jar tomorrow. We are on to Thursday. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.